Sure, j'ai 12 ans. That was supposed to be French. I studied French a long time ago in secondary school in Scotland. And although I can remember the odd phrase, I would never claim to be fluent. And anybody who could speak French will probably agree because I just introduced myself as age 12. That is because French for me is what I remembered. I was taught it, but didn't really properly learn it. And it reminds me of something else from my life when I was even younger, probably aged around 5. My parents taught me a prayer. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I really started to realize that it had nothing at all to do with pretty mice. The prayer was this: Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Pity thy simplicity, somehow pretty mice. Suffer me to come to thee. And for the past few weeks, we have been looking at the Beatitudes, which can also be a little bit familiar, can't they? These are the blessing statements that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. This evening, we are thinking about the one that says, Blessed are the meek. And we're going to reflect a little bit about what meekness is or isn't. And think about Jesus, because that is often a brilliant place to start. Then we're going to unpack a little bit about what meekness might look like for us in our daily lives. But first, a little bit about the Beatitudes themselves. It is suggested that the Beatitudes, or attitudes, or more precisely, attributes, and these attributes should be within the Christian's very lifestyle. Indeed, there are 8 scenarios that we could all face at different times in our lives. Jesus was not addressing 8 different groups of people. These are being applied as a whole. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the hungry, the thirsty, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, and reviled. There are some pretty fashionable things in that list. There are also some difficult and unfashionable things in that list. A few days ago at home, we had what my 5-year-old calls a spillage in the village. Now, our carpets are a creamy beige type of color, and the last thing you really want is a spillage in the village that involves blackcurrant juice. However, my daughter had an answer. Don't worry, Daddy. Vanish gold is unbeatable on stubborn stains. The power of advertising. A carpet cleaner advert in the midst of kids' TV programs, and it's certainly quite cleverly placed. The advertisers had done their job well. The product looked good and was sold well. But on the surface, these statements from Jesus may seem like quite the opposite. Become a Christian, mourn, be reviled, and face persecution. No one should ever think that being a Christian is a ticket to an easy life. However, it is a life of blessing. And the Beatitudes for me are a reminder of that truth. Let us return to meekness And what does it mean to be meek? According to the great authority that is WordWeb, meek means humble in spirit or manner, suggesting retiring mildness or even submissiveness. A few weeks ago in college, we were asked to name some things that would occur in family life. Lots of suggestions were posed quite quickly, and I noticed that they were being arranged into columns of positive and negative. When I put my hand up, and even in my 40s I can be quite polite in class, I suggested confrontation, which was immediately put into the negative column. And this troubled me. You see, confrontation in the right manner can, and I mean can, be a positive thing, or at least lead to positive effects. To confront somebody might be difficult, but necessary for their and the relationship's long-term well-being. Where is he going with this, you may wonder? Let me ask, could the same be said about submission? It is not a popular or fashionable term. In this culture especially, I would suggest it would go straight into that negative column. But perhaps, just maybe, submission might not be entirely negative. Don't get me wrong, just like confrontation, used wrongly, it can be damaging and totally unhelpful. But applied in the right way, it may offer blessing. So I would suggest if we are looking for a positive model of submission, then that would be submitting to the will of God. And we will be thinking more about that soon. People may be forgiven for thinking that being meek is offered in a manner of being weak. I think that is wrong. Meekness is not weakness. It can be incredibly difficult to turn to and submit to God. No, meekness is not weakness. And again, we will explore this a little further as we look at Jesus. A survey was carried out in churches around Cambridge a few years ago. The purpose was to show congregations different images of Christ and note which were the most popular. Sadly, the most popular one was this one. Isn't it sweet? Jesus with all the woodland creatures. Mainly European ones, of course. It is softly painted, gentle colours, and completely inoffensive, really. A bit of a contrast to the next one. It's strange, isn't it? The gentle Jesus, meek and mild, of the children's prayer is certainly attractive, but is it only half the picture? I wonder if the Pharisees, Sadducees, money changers, and others would have seen Jesus as meek and mild. I wonder if Jesus Christ would have found the strength and confidence to exercise his God-given authority if he was just meek and mild. Yes, Jesus was meek and mild. Remember, he entered Jerusalem not on a great war horse, but a donkey. Okay, I know I'm sounding a little bit confused at the moment. One minute I'm saying that Jesus was the meek and mild, as if a figure that we saw on the screen. The next, the humble king on the donkey. And that is it exactly. Jesus was both. And both were displays of meekness. Because meekness is not weakness. Christ embodies both meekness and majesty, humanity and deity. I could write a song about that. When Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness after his baptism, Jesus submitted to God's will. When he faced the cross, he cried out to God and concluded, "Not my will, but yours be done." He submitted. When people walked past him hanging, suffering on the cross, they shouted, "You were going to wreck the temple in 3 days and rebuild it." Those hanging next to him said, "Why don't you save yourself and us? You think you're God. You can get us out of this." And he could have. The capability was there, but he submitted to the greater will of God. Jesus was meek, but he is not weak. But mild enough to be approachable to the outcasts, the tax collectors, the sick, the Samaritan woman at the well. And often the faithless disciples. Jesus is a figure of accessible accommodation without compromising on the will of God. This, I believe, is displayed within the text of the Beatitudes. The hillside where the crowds have flocked to hear Jesus speak shows of his accessible accommodation. But the message of the Sermon on the Mount is uncompromising. It is turning against the tide, and that takes strength. Another word that described meekness was humble, to show humility. We often link humility with self-confidence and self-awareness. There is an old tongue-in-cheek song that has the words, "It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." There might be quite a few people we could think of, maybe in the media or the news, who would scarily actually believe that. Again, on one hand, humbling oneself isn't that necessarily a bad thing or damaging, but the negative potential can be there. In this text, Jesus is most likely addressing people who have been negatively humbled, especially by others. Injustice, oppression, and plain bullying can have that effect. The only hope is trust in God, whether we have been humbled by others or self-reflection. The answer is the same. Turn to God. One writer calls the Beatitudes Jesus' plan for a new world. The Beatitudes have been and will continue to be a source of comfort and hope for many. They have a simple structure that may mask their strength. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus names the people in which he is talking about. Then he names the problem. Then comes the promise. And this pattern is repeated. People, promise. People, promise. Problem, hope. Hope comes from God. God's love is something that we do not need to earn. But we do need to respond. It is a life-changing, world-changing love. so, let us lastly think about what this could mean for us today. I think that being meek is balancing who we are with God and finding our identity through Him. Then we see that the balance is between confidence in ourselves and confidence in God. And that is where I want to focus our reflections for the last few minutes. If you have a Bible, you might want to turn to John 6 and verse 1. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them, filled 12 baskets with the pieces of barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. We've gone from one hillside with Jesus to another. And this is where I think we can see the themes coming into action. All 4 Gospels have an account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. But did you spot the detail that is unique to John's? It seems like Jesus is in a bit of a jovial mood. And poor Philip is on the receiving end. Then another disciple appears with a small boy and his packed lunch. The packed lunch that would pack a punch. Jesus has the people gather round. He gives thanks. Over 5,000 people are fed. I just love letting my imagination run away with me here. And imagine if I was that little boy. I wonder what sort of reception I would have got at home when I got in. Mum, you'll never guess what happened today. Mum getting up from whatever the equivalent would have been of watching Countdown. Saying, "What?" "Well, that packed lunch you gave, I gave it to Jesus and he fed over 5,000 people with it." "Right, very good. Well, why don't you go and tidy your room?" Jesus was in complete control of that situation. Even if the disciples were out of their depth. And through the generous giving of a small, unnamed boy, Jesus did something special. And it is that thought that I really want to offer you tonight. Jesus took the ordinary and did extraordinary things. That boy offered what he had. He knew that he had no more. He knew it wasn't enough. But it was offered. Jesus takes the ordinary and does extraordinary things. Submitting. Being meek before God is a world-changing action. When relying on God's strength and not our own, we can see great things happen. Confidence in God is not confidence in vain. I'm going to end on one little question. How many other packed lunches could have been on that hillside?